People's Valley Baptist Church, Bottoms Gerald out sick today. We've got quite a few out. It's good to have Ms. Dot back with us and Brother Eugene. We'll start off by reminding you that there's a tear-off part on your bulletin. If you know anybody who needs to be talked to about salvation, give us our name and a number or an address or some way to get in touch with them and put it in the offering plate when it comes around so that we can call at it. We'll start off with our church service times. Sunday school is at 10 o'clock. Evening worship, or Monday morning. Morning worship is at 11 a.m. And our evening worship is at 6. And don't forget, on Monday nights, we have our corporate prayer wherever you are at 7 o'clock. Take the time to join in with the rest of the church and pray for our those names that are on our bulletin and the needs for our church, our community, and our country. And then Wednesday night Bible study is at 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall. I believe Brother Bob is still going over Paul. I believe it is. The ministry of Paul. And I guess the grief share's over until. Got two more weeks on grief share on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock or 6:30. 6:30
to
8:30. 6:30 to 8:30. And they do feed you if you want to come. And okay, we got Wednesday night Bible study. And this also says be much in prayer for our upcoming vacation Bible school, which will be Saturday, June the 29th. If you have any questions about that, see Sister Gail. If you have a grandchild or a child 4 years of old, it's four, right? 4 years of age and older, fill out a registration card for them. And that way we have a pre-registered. It'll be from 9 to 2 for the Vacation Bible School, but registration starts at 8:30. So be much in prayer for that coming up, and if you have any questions or if you want to help, see Sister Gail. What else we got coming up? And also, we have a birthday in here today. He's not here today. Earl Matheson, June 13th. And if you see Earl or you speak to him, wish him a happy birthday coming up this week. And next Sunday is Father's Day, but the choir will also still be going to Star Manor. So if you have time and you would like to come join us at Star Manor, it's really a blessing that you get more than you give them. To me, that's the way it is. I think I get more of a blessing than they do out of it, because they have to listen to us sing. But either way, if it's where you can, come join us and just try it one time. And you can ask anybody who's ever been there, it truly is a blessing. I mean, it's really a good time. And like I said, next Sunday is Father's Day. We will not be having an evening service. So there's none of this excuses that, well, if I go to the Star Manor, I'll be too tired to go back for the evening service. Well, you ain't got an evening service, so you ain't got that excuse anymore. Anybody got any other announcements? Brother Phil?
2 weeks from today, 11 o'clock service, Closer Home will be here to sing that morning.
Along with Tim Turnipseed?
Yeah.
Is he going to preach that morning or is he just going to sing? Okay, don't forget that Brother Tim Turnipseed and his group Closer Home will be here on the 23rd to do the morning service.
Or the last Sunday or five Sundays.
Well, he said the 23rd, sir.
23rd?
The week after Father's Day.
Oh, okay.
So y'all be much in prayer for them. And any other announcements? Anybody have any announcements?
No.
good week. Some of y'all have had a very difficult week. You continue to remember you and Helen and Michael. Keep them lifted up in your prayers for them as well. As also remember Josh and Hannah. Keep them in your prayers as well for this coming week. It's just been a very difficult time as well for them. And then also Brother Eugene and Sister Dot, it's so good to have you back with us. And also Brother Eugene's sister passing as well. You lift them up as well. And so there's so much that has taken place this past week that is unbelievable. Continue remembering the Pratts and the Crosses as well as the funeral that we had last Sunday morning. Continue to remember them. And also continue to remember Sister Brenda Weaver as well with her son Landon and all that has transpired with that as well. If you would continue, take out your outline we have this morning. This is the 11th in our series, believe it or not, that we've started. And basically our journey in the holiness deals with Matthew chapter 18 through Matthew chapter 23. And I thank God, as you look at your outline this morning, I took this title from the idea of the sons of thunder. The sons of thunder. So I called it thundering ambition. Today, there's a lot of folks that have the right kind of ambition. I call it holy ambition. And then there's some folks that have selfish ambition. And today, as we look at this, we start out with verse 17. I've got the NIV at the top and the King James Version underneath this morning. I thank God, as many of us, as we go through everyday times of work, or dealing with things of trying to keep things running for our family each and every week, many of us are struggle a lot of times. Many of us do the very best that we can to keep things running as smoothly as we can. And we don't always do it as best as we could. But we all, every one of us in this room right now, definitely have challenges that we're trying to meet every single day. As you look at summer, this is the time when people go on vacation. They try to go get a little bit of relaxation in and try to take some time. But this morning, as we look at start out with our series again this morning in Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 28, as we call it thundering ambition, journey into holiness, Matthew chapter 18 through chapter 23. And this is the 11th in our series we have this morning. If you're able to stand with us here this morning, either you find with the Word of God that you'll have or either your outline this morning, you stand with us as we honor the reading of our Word of God this morning. Get my pages over on the right thing. These pages get turned sometimes, and it's easy to do. Matthew chapter 20, starting with verse 17. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus begins to predict his death. The Bible says, "And Jesus going up to Jerusalem." This is the third warning. This is the third time that Jesus has told them. But this time there's a little bit more that goes with a warning. "And Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again." Verse 20, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Verse 22, "But Jesus answered and said, You know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority unto them. But it shall not be so among you, But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God. And Lord, we pray that may your Holy Spirit work on each and every one of us as it goes and examines us. And Lord, as we look at, realize the example that Christ set for all of us, that Lord, the greatest thing that we can do is to be last. And because that we're being last, we're being first according to your teachings, Lord, that we are the servant and that we put others ahead of ourselves. Father, thank you for the great privilege of standing here this morning. Lord, for the powerful spirit that we feel here today. And Lord, I pray that through that spirit, may it minister to the hearts and the minds of your church this morning. And Lord, as you examine each and every one of us, may we learn the principles of what ambition is to be able to serve and minister, not only on the jobs, but in our ministries as ambassadors for Christ each and every day. Thank you for what you have done this past week, Father. Lord, where you have responded with your mighty call of mercy. Lord, you have touched the hearts. And Lord, you have for just a little bit longer kept us going, Father, because it is you that gives us the ability to do what we do, to have what we have, the joy and what all of the blessings of God, you bestow them and give them and let us borrow those things. And they're only lent to us for a little while. And we're so thankful for what you do, Father. And now, Father, I pray, Lord, just give us that we need to say unto your church and hide us behind your cross. And all that we do and say, may it give honor and may it point everyone to you this morning. And, Father, we're just so thankful for the precious blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank God this morning that we look and realize that even in the other Gospels of Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 34, and Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34, coincide with this. But I thank God here in Matthew, we realize that, yes, it was James and John's mother that began to be put up by the sons to say, hey, would you have a place for us in your kingdom when it comes on the scene? I thank God. But here it talks about how that Jesus went ahead and responded directly to James and John, and he answered them because he knew that the mother didn't ask it of herself. The sons put her up to it. I thank God. Here we learn a lesson about basically this thundering ambition that we have this morning, because I thank God Jesus calls every one of us to a life of holiness. Don't miss us tonight. I'm going to be giving you a copy of 18 Steps to Holiness that's dealing with something that coincides with this holiness series of Psalms 119. We'll be in verses 17, starting with the next 8 verses tonight. And I'll be giving a handout to each and every one of you of the 18 steps that I call it. And every one of the 18 steps go with the scripture of Psalms 119. Amen. I thank God holiness is something that goes deeper than the surface levels of just religious habits. Today is an awesome day. If I can remember, I had the notes somewhere, but it's all right. I'll let the Holy Spirit. But today is the 287th celebration of the colony of Georgia today. It was, I'll get it wrong if I try to say the date, but King George II, because of not religious purposes, but because of the settlers and that were here in the times of settling things from the very beginning, when they sent colonizations over, they were being plagiarized by and attacked by Indians. And so King George set a charter and a colony for Georgia to where more would come in to make it safer. And they colonized Georgia today, June the 9th, 18, man, excuse me. Let me see if I have it close by. Yeah, here it is. I'll get it right. I hate to say something incorrect, and I'll have to correct myself. But and we thank God for one particular person that basically headed this up. Of course, a lot of people from South Carolina and up in the Carolinas were catching a lot of problem as well. But He didn't do it for Christian history, but June the 9th, 1732, King George II of England on this day created the colony of Georgia that was, I got that right, 287 years ago today. Believe it or not, he said basically there was no hindrance of what type of religion, but he did say if you were a Papist or a Catholic, he didn't really want you coming. I'm just telling what I'm reading. I didn't make this up, but what I read. And so James Oglethorpe wrote, he says, in America there are fertile lands sufficient to support all the useless poor in England and distressed Protestants in Europe, yet thousands starve for want of mere sustenance. And so I thank God Christianity will be extended by carrying out the design of good discipline. But I thank God that wasn't the sole purpose that they did it. It was to make it more protective for the people that were already there. And I thank God I almost overlooked this day when I was checking church history. And I thank God a little bit later on, there's something else that happens in this month where they, I believe they kill, they take the life of Joseph Smith. They try to take his head off. In Illinois, and later on in this month, Brigham Young takes up the call and takes them on to Utah. Those are all church things that happened this month. And so be with us tonight. We'll give you the 18 steps into holiness that will be with Scripture tonight. I thank God as we look back at the journey into holiness this morning, all of us try to take that first attitude of taking the right step and approach to being close to the Lord, especially in our marriages, with our families and raising our kids, that we have the right kind of mindset, amen. But I thank God the ambition that we look at today sometimes gets a bad rap in places, maybe in ministry today. Brother John was talking about in a wonderful Sunday school lesson this morning that he gave us about how that Deborah in the book of Judges was the prophetess or the judge during that time, and how that she was in touch with the Lord, and she encouraged Barak to come on. And, you know, as that was a great lesson for that, he was talking about how people are ambitious. Amen. I remember I was in boot camp, and, it got down to the whole squad. Everybody, they was the squad leader, and, they failed. I said, oh, Lord, ain't nobody else left but me. What I got to do with it? Amen. So they put the stripes on me. And so, stuff like that. I've never been like John. I've never been wanting to get up in front of people. I was so bashful that I would hide behind my mother when I was a kid. I thank God, but today there's a lot of folks that do have some thundering ambition. But the best kind to have is the holy ambition that we have for the Lord, that we can do service for Him today, that we can give honor and glory, that we draw attention to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in everything that we do today, amen. And so even in ministry today, if there's people that have an intention for any other reason than giving glory and honor to the Lord, you know, I went to the all the boards when I was in the military. I was E5, and while I was in the field, they came and I was the lowest E5 there was. And so they made me go to all the boards, and I tested, and I didn't want to do it, but I was the lowest ranking. But I won a trip to Washington, D.C., and I ate at the White House, only because I was the low man, and because I won. But I didn't want to. And so I thank God today there's a lot of people that have selfish ambition today. And the enemy is always that way today. As we look at this, we have two of the disciples that they made all the other ones mad today. But the thing that I get out of this is I look and I realize that at a very difficult time, this is the third warning that Jesus gives to his disciples. Maybe some of them were hotheads, and he wanted to let them know, you know what, I'm fixing to die on the cross for all of y'all. And I'm going to have to pay the price that is going to cost me my life. But the next thing you know, after he says verses 17, 18, and 19, comes verse 20. And that's when it comes in where James and John says, hey, Mom, I want you to go ask, can we get a place beside our Savior when we come into his kingdom, amen. Bad timing that this happens. And so here was that sons of thunder that I call the thundering ambition here this morning. But here in verse 17, we see that announcement that Jesus gives to his disciples on the way. You see, everybody's going to Passover, but he's going for the last time. He's going to Jerusalem, not just for the Passover. He's going to die. He's going to hang on the cross of Calvary to pay the price that nobody else could pay, praise God. And so in this passage, here is the prediction, the third warning that he begins to give every one of them, amen. In Matthew chapter 16 was the first one. Then in Matthew chapter 17, and now here in Matthew 20, that he begins to tell them some of the things of a warning that he wants them to know. And he's talking again about the same thing a while back, of the greatness and of servanthood. How can we be great in the kingdom of God? Amen. He's teaching on the context of greatness. Amen. And Jesus focuses his disciples on what? He focuses them on his choice to die. He says, this is what greatness is all about. You know what? You've got to sacrifice yourself. He was going to Calvary, amen, to hang on a cross, amen. And I thank God, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you have to die to self. Is what he was saying. You've got to die out to the selfishness of ourselves, amen. And you've got to put others first to be able to be in my kingdom, amen. And so I thank God, you know what? How am I first? Well, I make myself last according to the Word of God. That's how I do that. I'll die for your sakes, Jesus said. Jesus is showing the disciples, amen, here what we must do, amen. And so I thank God, here is the thunderous call to self-denial right here, amen. That he said, you know what? This is how it's done right here, amen, of self-denial. That every one of us, there's a spiritual fruit, amen, which manifests our heart. This past week, you know, I was challenged to be to do the humane thing, amen. All of a sudden, I come out in the backyard, and there's two little baby kittens that's about 3 weeks old. You know, 3 weeks ain't weaned, if you know it. I never knew much about cats, okay? I've had some cats. I don't hate cats. But I've had two cats over the years with my dogs, amen. But these little fellas, they were caticos. They were pretty. I didn't know caticos were only females. Y'all know that? I guess y'all do. Only caticos are female cats, amen. That's right. And so they were pretty. They were spotted. Well, I couldn't get the other one, so I put the one back. And I didn't want him to be alone without the other one. So I go back the next day, and I get the one. I can't find the other. I look everywhere. So I take it to work with me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take it to the rescue. I'm going to do the right thing. They supposed to find another nursing mama cat that would nurse them because, you know, they have to teach them how to use the bathroom. And, you know, the mama cat does all of those things. And I could have just easily said, I'll just trash this. But this life, everything is life. That's life in this world that God created, amen, is precious, amen. And so, you know what? I went after work Friday, right over there, Lita got a call, and I ran, took that catico kitten over there, you know. I done had a bunch of stuff that was wrong. I had little kitten food. Hey, that thing can't eat no kitten food. I found that out. I went and bought it. I had litter. You know, it wasn't even using the bathroom good. It just learned how to do that. I gave that, donated it. Then went to Walmart, bought the kitten milk. That's just about $9 a little thing, amen. I said, here you go, you can have that, amen. I did everything wrong, but one thing that I did right was it was life. And I didn't just dispose of it. I took it and I gave it to the rescue, amen. Beautiful spots on that little kid. And you know what? Every time I was in the shop at work, it would follow me around. And it knew my voice that somebody was there, amen. And so I thank God, it's precious today, everything that we have. And so I thank God, here in Christ, his life is precious, amen. And he is predicting that he's a living illustration of the last shall be first. He says, I'm going to give up my life for every one of you. And so this warning tells us some things that none of the others told us, amen. That he was going to have to suffer, amen. He was going to go to a cruel cross. That he was going to be crucified. And that 3 days later, that he's going to rise up out of the grave because death couldn't keep him, amen. Well, I thank God, you know what? Every one of us, as we look and see what he's telling the disciples about all of this, but yet Luke tells us they still didn't get it. They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. It was way over their head. There's a lot of things in life today that the Lord tries to get our attention on that just goes right over our head. We don't understand the spiritual meanings of what's happening currently in our life right now. We don't understand those things a lot of times. And so I thank God. He said, I'm going to be scourged by the Romans, amen. I'm going to be mocked. I tell you, I'm going to be crucified. And it still didn't go and register into the disciples' hearts and minds, amen. And so I thank God. In Matthew, I begin to notice that Jesus' death had been spoken of for many, many chapters in the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus had used the word cross twice in the book of Matthew. But both times he used the word cross in this phrase. He said, take up your cross and follow me. He used it metaphorically. But for the first time right here in Matthew chapter 20, verse 19, we're told explicitly that Jesus' death was going to be a death by crucifixion. Amen. This, in other words, should have been a shock to those disciples. Amen. When Jesus first told them, amen, take up your cross, amen. You can't imagine how shocking that would be, that metaphor, amen, to have been them, amen. But I thank God, he says, I'm going to be crucified on that cross, amen. I tell you, you can imagine, it just didn't sink in. And today, for every one of us to be able to tell the story and to understand what salvation is today, when we witness to somebody, is we got to know what that means. We got to know what he did when he went to the cross on Calvary and he gave his life willingly. It was his choice that he willingly went to that cross. Amen. Well, I thank God that's when we can get the message across. I tell you, J.C. Ryle, if you've got those Bibles, this is one of the things that he said in this Bible. He said this, and I quote J.C. Ryle. He said, he saw Calvary from a distance all of his life, and he chose it for his disciples, and he's reminding them of it right here, unquote. Christ always holds us, his glory, on the other side of the cross, amen. I thank God, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Well, I tell you, there's a message just in that right there, amen. And if we didn't go any further, that would be just fine. But Jesus' resurrection testifies to about three things. One of them is it testifies about his deity. He's raised with power, amen. And he declared himself to be the Son of God, amen. It also testifies to his righteousness, amen. That Jesus was not a sinner, and yet he died, amen. But the Bible makes it very clear, why do we die? Because we're sinners, amen. And well, I tell you, why did Jesus die? Not because he was a sinner, amen, but because he stepped in our place. He stepped in the sinner's place, amen. He took our place, amen. And so I thank God. God had to manifest that, and so he raised him from the dead in order to say two things, amen. First, I've accepted the sacrifice for the sin of all of you, amen. And secondly, I thank God, he says he had no sin in him whatsoever, amen. Death had no right to him in its clutches, amen. So I thank God, every one of us. And then the third thing, not only did it testify of his deity, not only did it testify of his righteousness, but it testified, amen, of its salvation that it gave to every one of us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, amen. Absolutely essential for every one of us to have today, amen. The death to the newness of life, praise God. And so that's what Jesus was trying to get across. But it just went right over their heads. And so here they go. They take a little bit of time to be able to do those things, amen. That was that ambition. You know, there's nothing wrong with having good ambition today and to go back. And so here we discover some of the things. If we look at our outline, that we begin to realize, amen, some of the things here this morning, that there's three guidelines for a proper attitude in ministry that every one of us have today that we can go through with and use and our ways today. And so I thank God for that great blessing that we have this morning as we look. One of the first things that we see of these guidelines this morning, of these three guidelines for a proper ambition, is number one, focus on your performance and not your position, amen. We've got to be able to focus on what we're doing for the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ, and do it the very best that we can. Man, I tell you, I speak for myself. Sometimes I try to compliment or do the right thing, and it just comes out wrong a lot of times. All of a sudden, my better half don't take it right, you know? And so I've done that, so I've got to practice on doing the better performance sometimes. You know, sometimes we get so selfish that as we get older, you know, we think that we ought to keep getting something. But what's wrong with giving even if you don't get nothing? Amen. Giving love. Amen. If you get nothing at all. The lady at one of the faculty, that's one of my dear friends, she's a writer from one of the senior magazines in Rome, Nina Lovell. And I brought articles in, and she wrote an article, and she hand-signed it for me and sent it by courier to me. And it said, do you remember what the first thing, what was it? Let's see if I can say it. Do you remember the first time? Amen. Do you remember the first time? And it was basically the first time of whatever. The first time maybe that you went to school. I don't know about you, but the first time I went to school, I cried. I didn't even want to be there. I want to go back home, amen. You know, I want to stay with mom. And so all of the first things that you've ever done, maybe the first kiss, the first of everything, first time that you ever really got your rear end whooped, amen, and you need it, amen. I'm going to tell you, I remember that, amen. Thank God, you know, all the first things, and that's what she wrote about, the first things to remember, amen. And I wrote her back, I said, man, what a great article. Man, I want to tell you, every one of us, we've got to focus on our performance and not our position today, thank God. And so I thank God. Here, they weren't thinking, these disciples, what they could do. They were thinking about what they could have. What they could have, not what they could do. And so I thank God, we've got to focus on that performance today. Every one of us, you ever know anybody like that? Do you see the difference that every one of us, the job description of what we're doing today, do we do things to help folks or do we, and for the Lord, or do we do it for ourselves a lot of times? Oh me. You know, we've got to focus on our performance. Focus on the job that you're doing. To accomplish something wonderful for the kingdom of God, amen. And so, you know what? When was the last time we did something like that today? Well, I thank God as we look and realize today, every one of us as we go through life, that we try to do the right thing. And so I thank God it's that pride and simple ambition that every one of us get blinded by. We get blinded by that pride and that sinfulness that's in our life. And that's exactly what was happening to the disciples. No different than any one of us here this morning, amen. Humility is the thing that is demanded when we pledge ourselves to take Christ into our life, amen. The humbleness that He gives us. And so kingdom greatness is measured by kingdom service in a way is what He's trying to tell us, amen. And so I thank God here. And so we see not only, number one, focus on your performance, not your position, but number two, be prepared to pay the price. Be prepared to pay the price, amen. Verse 22 says, you do not know what you're asking. He said, listen, but Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink up and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they say unto him, we are. You know what? Yes, they did. James, yes. Yes, each one of them experienced death and suffering, amen. But I thank God they didn't really understand all of it. James and John's request as they were doing this, I do believe their ambition was misguided. And Jesus' response helped to redirect that ambition. Ain't that good that the Holy Spirit does a good job, that it redirects the ambition that we try to have for ourselves, amen? Because it's this old thing. It is this human flesh that does that stuff. It's that, it tries to pat itself on the back. And it tries to make itself seen. But I thank God it is through the humbleness that we overcome the pride and the selfishness each and every day. As Jesus is giving us this message. And He's telling us the many things that we go through. I thank God. Jesus said if you want to do something great in God's kingdom, then I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a price to pay. He said there will be sacrifice that will be involved. Amen. And along the way, it doesn't get easier sometimes. It gets more challenging. One of the prices you'll pay is that others will resent you for trying to be a Christian today. And that's exactly what the world is paying on the media out there today. They resent you because you're a prayer warrior. They resent you because you love Jesus Christ today. And that's exactly what's happening. That's the thundering ambition that the world has out there today, like John and James both had. Amen. And so I tell you, it's sad. Verse 24, the Bible says, and when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Why were they indignant? Because James and John had asked for the wrong thing. And so I thank God, here we begin to realize that even in the story of David and Goliath, Goliath had been challenging the army of the Israelites for weeks to come and to fight. And no one brave enough would even come. And so then David, this young little bitty puny shepherd boy, he came on the scene and he actually began considering entering the battle, amen. And what did he do? His brothers began to say, oh, no, you just want to get glory. But you know what? He didn't even have that in his mind. He says, I'm going to be a champion for the Lord. Amen. I'm going to stand when nobody else around here is going to stand for Jesus. I'm just a little old ruddy boy. But I'm going to get up there because he's not going to mock my God, this giant. God will give me the deliverance that I need. And so I thank God. David, that young shepherd boy, had enough courage and boldness to go and faith to believe in God. Hallelujah. And so I thank God, every one of us. I want to make it clear that life is to be defined by holy ambition. Amen. You'll have to pay a price for that greatness. Amen. I believe, you know what? Charles Stanley, I'm sure that he's well known and he does great, but he's paid a price for where he's at. Amen. Anybody that's in those positions, man, can you imagine, even with his marriage, I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I wouldn't say that. But I'll tell you, he's paid a price for where he's at today. Anyone that's done things that have done great, they've paid a price. They've kept hours away from their families and done what they could do. You're going to pay a price sometimes for those things, amen. And so be prepared to pay that price, amen. Now thank God, number three, holy ambition begins and it ends with serving others. Now thank God in verses 26 down to verse 28 that he begins to tell us. He says, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, amen. And whosoever shall be chief among you, let it be your servant. And even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. For I thank God, every one of us, true greatness was demonstrated by Christ and some supreme acts. The act of this coming to earth. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming down here. If he had never come, we wouldn't have had a sacrifice. Amen. Oh, I tell you, thank you for the act of ministering to all of us and giving us what we have today. Man, I tell you, we're so blessed. And so coming down here and the act of ministering and the act of giving his life. Man, I would say that's awesome this morning. Amen. The difference between holy ambition and selfish or thundering ambition today, it comes down to the question of who is being served. Amen. Who is being served right now? Do you see your job in terms of how it benefits others, amen? Or do you see that job in terms of how it benefits you? You know, sometimes when I'm at work, I'm from one to the next. I got to help one and I go and help another one because that's what maintenance does. That's my job. I'm always serving and fixing and repairing, amen, all the time. You know, sometimes I go and ask a favor and I say, whoa, okay. I'm still waiting today. You know, it don't matter, I guess. You know, sometimes I'll ask the cosmetology lady, hey, is this straight in the back? You know, yeah, I'll get to you next week. Okay. Boy, I tell you, you know, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people like that in the world. It's all about them. They're so selfish today. Boy, am I preaching a message that's so powerful today. Jesus said, we need this message today. And I thank God, that's how we learn to walk in the steps of holiness each and every day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. It's right 4 minutes still this morning. As Sister Sheila comes around to the piano this morning, boy, if it ain't a powerful spirit here this morning. Boy, God is just wanting to do something spectacular for somebody. He's done some things this week that is just miraculous. But this morning, he really wants to do something to help somebody this morning. If you'll just listen to what he's trying to do for you this morning, because he's passing by. The Holy Spirit is here this morning, amen. I thank God, greatness is about serving others, amen. The primary focus and performance is all about that. Not getting recognition to ourselves. But I thank God this morning, if there's something that's missing in your life that you need the Lord to help you with, right where you're at this morning, the Lord will come by. He'll stop by long enough to see your needs and to meet them this morning because he wants to minister to you. He is that ministering one. He is that servant of the Lord that comes. He's our champion, amen. Oh, I tell you, I thank God as the cathedrals would sing that old song about that that champion. He said about that song about the man that's in this corner of the good and the just is a champion that serves us. Oh, I thank God as a last name Wolf would sing that song with the cathedrals back in the day. That champion, amen. He's our champion this morning, amen. And he wants to give us the very best that we have. If you'll just let him right where you're at this morning. Father, Lord, I don't know if there's anyone lost this morning. As I look around, as far as I know, everybody's saved. But Lord, if there is someone here, Lord, may they accept your faith. May they step out and accept the greatest gift of eternal salvation. Because you loved us enough that not only did you come to earth, you ministered to us, but also, Father, you died for us on that cruel crucified tree. But, Lord, death could not hold you. 3 days later, just like what you told him, Lord, you came out of that grave. And Lord, you came into the lives and the hearts of America and everyone in this country today. Father, thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak on your wonderful name. And we ask you this morning, Lord, to do something in the life of your church this morning. Lord, right now, somebody's asking something of you. Lord, they won't have to wait next week or that you will not respond. You will respond immediately because you are a servant. Lord, you have that holy ambition about you. And Lord, this morning, whatever it is that our church family needs, Lord, I pray, would you supply it this morning? Would you meet that need this morning for them in the name of Jesus? Whatever hurt and whatever pain and whatever is happening into the lives of your families, help them. May your mercy be merciful. May your love be as loving as always. And this morning, Father, with thankful hearts as we stand before you, Lord, we ask that you'll take care of and meet the needs and ministries of this community and this church family by the power of thy mighty grace that we feel this morning. In Jesus Christ we pray as we stand our feet this morning. I believe we've got anybody to sing us a song this morning, so we'll just, if you don't mind, just play us a song, and we just want to open the doors of our church family this morning. As we stand our feet this morning, I want to open up the doors of People's Valley Baptist Church by letter, by baptism, or by statement of faith this morning, as Sister Sheila just picks us out a song. As we listen this morning, we normally sing, but we can listen to the music this morning and continue to reflect on what the Lord wants to do in your life, because He does want to meet your needs this morning, whatever big or however small they might be, that He considers you first in His choices, that He's going to meet your need. Brother Eugene, He's going to meet your need, Brother Kevin, His camera, because that's how He is and how merciful and loving as He is. As she plays this morning, I want to give you an opportunity. If you need to come to this altar and pray, you can, because right now the Spirit of God is passing through and He's moving from rest to rest right here, right now. The power of God that can change things in our lives, and we'll just respond.